Good morning. As we are able to come together for the first Sunday of this new year, I'm excited that you're here and that you've chosen spiritual things, and it's a great way to begin the new year, to come together on the Lord's Day and spend some time in worship to Him. I'm glad that you're here. We have those who are visiting with us, and I'm thankful for your presence as well. I forgot to mention, I should have mentioned this last Sunday, and I forgot, and that is those of you who want to do daily Bible readings, we're encouraging that, if you would like a daily Bible reading schedule, I can provide one for you. I apologize, I should have mentioned that last Sunday. And even though we are a few days into the new year, you could pick up just with January the 7th and go from there, and at some point, you know, go back and pick up those other days. But if you would like that, please see me after services. And I know several of you have read through your Bible through the years. I have a schedule that takes you through chronologically. That might be a different challenge, reading the Bible chronologically in order. So if you would like something like that, I'd be glad to help you get a copy of that as well. This morning, I don't have a lesson or sermon as such. I don't have a PowerPoint this morning. Being the first Sunday of the year, I want to do something a little bit different. We are going to open up our Bibles and do some Bible study, but this morning I just simply want to offer some commendations to you. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, that when people are living right and they're acting right, they need a pat on the back from time to time. And I take my cue this morning from Paul. The scripture reading there in Philemon opens up the first few verses with just Paul commending Philemon and others. For Philemon, his work, his love, his faith. There were times when Paul would write letters and all he was doing, a part of the letter, was just simply commending somebody. There were times when he had doctrinal discourses. There were times where he had warnings, and there were times where he was addressing a particular sin or problem. But then there were times when he just simply commended somebody. And that's what I want to do with you this morning. God did that with Job in Job chapter 1 when he's talking to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? He walks uprightly. He turns away from evil. Jesus did that in Matthew chapter 8 when the Roman centurion came to him and said, "Would you heal my servant? And all you have to do is say the word and he'll be healed." And Jesus said, "I've not seen so great a faith. No, not in all Israel." Others made their commendations, and Paul certainly did that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Before I get into my commendations, I want to just simply look at a few examples of this. I've thought about this before. Paul will from time to time just say things by way of commendation. In time, he'll get into the doctrinal part of the lesson or the informational part, but sometimes he just simply wants to commend somebody. Romans 1 and verse 8, "Your faith is proclaimed throughout the whole world." Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul commended the Philippian brethren for their fellowship in the gospel, making supplication of mine on behalf of you, always making supplication with joy for your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel. They had given him monetary support to preach the word of God, and he commended them for that. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4, the Colossian brethren, he commended them when he said, "Having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have toward all the saints." That's similar to Philemon, faith and love. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Similar in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 and 4. When Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, turn with me there. He commended the faith that was in him and his mother and his grandmother, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith, sincere, unhypocritical faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded also in you. And then, of course, this Philemon 1 through 7 that we read this morning. I want to offer my commendations to you, brethren, here this morning. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about the local church here at Warfield Boulevard as a whole. I want to talk about our parents and families, and then I want to close with some commendations involving some individual Christians. Turn with me to Philemon chapter 1 and verse 1. Philippians 1 verse 1. I want to commend the church here at Warfield Boulevard for having elders and deacons. There have been different times in my life when I have served with elders and deacons, and there have been times in my life when I served in local churches without elders and deacons. And of course, it's much more difficult when you're in a congregation without elders and deacons. And I want to say to the Warfield Boulevard Church that I'm grateful that we have elders and deacons. That is a special thing. It's an important thing. It's a very good thing. And I'm glad that we have that. Not every congregation can say that. There are many congregations throughout the land that don't have elders and deacons. And you're to be commended. We're to be commended for having men such as Clarence and Bob and Daniel. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul is writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus that are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Bishop here is the other word used for elders. It means an overseer. The elders, the bishops, and the pastors are all the same men in the New Testament. So the saints, the bishops are elders and deacons. And it's great that we have that. And not just these men, but their wives also. You may recall in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, the wives of the elders and deacons are mentioned there. And serious, self-controlled, and faithful in all things. And to have our three elders and their wives, to have our six deacons and their wives, Jeff and Phil, Mark and Paulo, Reggie and Seth. It's great to have elders and deacons. I've enjoyed working under the elders in my past few years here. They're very supportive of my work. They encourage me, and I really appreciate that. I appreciate our deacons serving and doing various works. I have been in congregations before without elders and deacons, and I'm not complaining, but often there's just a lot more work when you don't have deacons to help you. So I appreciate those men doing various duties and works that they're doing, and their wives. We're to be commended for having elders and deacons. We're to be commended for having regular elders meetings. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. We're having one this afternoon. We meet quarterly. Of course, four times a year, that's not the only time that you can go to the elders. Talk with them on a regular basis. Go to them every week if you want to talk with them about something, and our deacons. Please come talk with me about anything that involves my preaching. My door is always open. But we have regular, I guess you could say, formal meetings quarterly. And you're to be commended for having that. That is very important for elders to have open and direct communication with the congregation. And this gives us an opportunity to have that communication with them. One of the many roles of elders, as you know, 1 Timothy 3 verse 5, is to take care of the church. Take care of the church. Not the church building. They might do some things involving that, but the people. and they take care of their families. They know how to take care of their own personal family so that they can take care of the church of God. And a part of taking care of the church here at Warfield is them communicating and talking with us. The plans that they have, things that need to be altered or changed, things that we can improve upon, things that we can plan for 2024 or whatever the situation might be. So to have regular elders meetings, I'm grateful for that, and you're to be commended for doing that, to have that open communication and discussion so that we're all moving forward together, unified in a good way. Turn with me to Acts 13 and verse 1. You're to be commended for having good Bible class teachers. I'm glad that we have the Bible class teachers that we have. The talent that is in that pool of men and women who come together to volunteer. We can always use more of them. So be thinking about, if you're not currently doing that, how that you can learn to do that with others who are doing it. Go into their classroom, learn with them, join with them. In time, volunteer to teach and start doing that. But I'm so grateful. The church at Antioch, we're told, had teachers. That's no small thing. And it's great to have men and women who will dedicate time to study and learn a lesson and help our young people and adults as well learn more of the Word of God. So I'm grateful for all of our teachers. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. You're to be commended. The Warfield Boulevard Church here is to be commended. And I want to commend you for being a church, a local church that simply wants to act according to the truth of God's Word. This is no small thing. This is a very big deal. We live in a world where many local congregations and their leadership are going off the rails. Okay? And that's including churches of Christ. Not everybody is following the truth of God's Word. And you are in all areas of our life. And that is to the credit of the elders and those of you who want to remain faithful to the truth. But Paul writes in chapter 3 and verse 15 of 1 Timothy how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We're supposed to support the truth. And you're to be commended for being a church, and the elders are to be commended for wanting this to be a congregation that does everything by the book. Again, in the denominational world, of course, that's not the case. And in the world of some churches of Christ, that's not the case. I believe that to be the case right here in town. Not to offend anybody, but right here in town and right here in Middle Tennessee and across the country and around the world, there are those who are claiming to be brethren that are not following the truth. And so it's a very big deal that you are, and that is very important. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, you're following the pattern of sound words. And if I were to stray from that pattern, the elders would say something to me. If I were to preach something that wasn't true, they would say something to me, I'm sure of that. And so you want to uphold the truth. You want to walk according to the New Testament pattern. And that is very, very commendable. Very commendable. In a day and age where that seems to be falling apart quite rapidly. So with regard to the plan of salvation, we're simply going to preach the truth on that. With regard to the work of the church, we're going to preach the truth on that. We don't have any works going on right now that are not according to the pattern. There's no social or recreational things going on individually in our lives. We do those kinds of things, but not as a church. We're not going to do that. The worship of the church is truthful in every regard. The organization of the church is truthful in every regard. And you're to be commended for that. That is a very great thing. And I'm glad that I can stand up and preach the truth. The elders have never shackled me or confined me in any way in preaching the truth. They encourage that. They want me to do that. They want me to be bold and courageous in doing that very thing. And when I am, they're supportive of that. I would also say that, of course, I don't know everything that's in the brotherhood. That's not my business. And that's, I don't get up every day trying to find out what goes on in the brotherhood. But I do know that from time to time, friends of mine and other situations that I hear about from time to time, sometimes preachers do not get the support in the pulpit from preaching the truth, maybe like they should. And I always get support from our three elders and the congregation here as a whole. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You're to be commended for staying active in the Lord's work. This congregation here wants to remain active. The elders do set goals for us. They want us to stay active in the what we call the work of the church, which is evangelism, teaching the lost, edification, teaching those who are already saved, and then being benevolent toward needy saints. That's the work of the church that is supported from the church treasury and the congregation as a whole, the work of the church. And we read this verse, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We want to keep working and staying busy here in Clarksville, and you're to be commended for wanting to do that. And in the past 2 years, in my desire to do foreign evangelism in Ghana, and then Lord willing, later this year in the Philippines, our evangelism is not only local, but it's also foreign. You were supporting foreign evangelists before I got here, but you're continuing to do that in my work in Ghana, and Lord willing, this year in the Philippines, and I appreciate that. You're to be commended for wanting to do these three works and not stray from that goal. And with regard to benevolence toward needy saints, many times since I've been here, I've approached you. We've made announcements from the pulpit. I've approached you individually, and you have been generous in giving to me for needy brethren in other places, and that is so commendable. Just recently, I received some help. We've made the announcement today, maybe we can help the Nkrumahs with their new baby. But you're benevolent, you're caring, you're generous, and you're to be commended for that. What a great attitude you have in that regard. So first of all, I wanted to say a few things by way of commendation for the church here as a whole. I want to talk a little bit about our families. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. We have faithful married couples here, and you're to be commended for being faithful to each other. Like I said before, that's no small thing. We live in a world of sexual immorality. We live in a world of fornication, adultery, pornography, other kinds of things involving sexual sin, homosexuality. And the Hebrew writer says in verse 4, "Let marriage be had in honor among all, and let the bed," that's the marriage bed, the euphemism for the sexual relationship, "be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge." We have faithful married couples here that have been married for many, many years, faithful to each other. And that's a great thing. We live in a society where marriage is thrown away. We live in a society where that's cheapened and sin gets into marriage and those kinds of things. But we have husbands and wives here this morning that are faithful to each other, and that's a great thing. The divorce rate in this country is right around 50%. We all know of people, family members and friends and others who are divorced because somebody didn't follow Hebrews 13 verse 4. And you're to be commended for staying faithful to each other. In a very wicked world, you're wanting to live faithfully and honorably. Let marriage be had in honor. We're going to hold it in high esteem. We're not going to cheapen it. It's not an old dirty rag that you just throw out. It's a prized possession. And we have husbands and wives here that have been faithful to their mates for many years. And we have widows and widowers here who were faithful to their mates for many, many years. Till death do us part. You're to be commended for that. What a great example that is. We have parents here this morning and in this congregation who are raising their children the right way. Turn with me to Proverbs 22:15, very familiar passage. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We have parents here who are striving their hardest to bring up their children in the right way. The passage is so familiar that I misquoted it. That's how familiar it is. How about that? Proverbs 22, verse 6. I said verse 15. I was thinking about verse 15 involving child discipline. Verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We have parents here who are really working hard to do that. That's difficult in the 21st century. It really is. There's all kinds of things going on that parents have to deal with. All kinds of stuff at school, on the phone, with friends, on the internet. It's everywhere. And parents are just constantly on this and on that. Attitudes. Sometimes a little attitude creeps in and you gotta fix that, and a little habit creeps in and you gotta fix that, and we've got parents here who are really working hard to do that, and you're to be commended for that. That's a great thing. I see so many parents out in the world that are just, let that one go, you know. My job was to bring them into the world. Good luck. You're on your own after that. But we've got parents here who are and have really worked hard to raise their children right. And you're to be commended for that. We have fathers, Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers who are bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In a world of so many deadbeat dads and dads who are absent and so forth, we've got fathers here and mothers here who are really working hard to raise their kids right. And we don't always see it. You don't see that work that goes on in the trenches, you know. You don't see what goes on at home and what's said in the car and all of that kind of thing. But they're really working hard to raise their kids right. Giving them values, lessons, scripture, rules, boundaries, punishments, whatever. All for their good. And we have parents here who are doing that. And that is a great thing. You keep it up. And you faithful married couples, you keep it up. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 7. We have some singles here in this congregation who are faithfully serving the Lord. Paul calls the relationship of being single, he calls it a gift. He calls it a gift in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 7. And some people, that's their gift in life. And at whatever point they are in life, marriage is not for them, but they're going to faithfully serve the Lord. And that's a good thing. Paul did that. Jesus did that. There were several Bible characters who were single. And we have singles here who are faithfully serving the Lord. They're using their time to serve the Lord. They're using their talents. They're using their income to serve the Lord. And that is a very good thing. You keep doing that. Maybe one day, if a spouse is in your future, that's fine too. marriage is a good thing. But if it's not, and you go your whole life being single, you faithfully serve the Lord. And I'm appreciative of you and what you're doing in your life. And you have yourself and you have the Lord, and you're here and you're faithful and you're serving. You're an example to others. You're working in this community. You're being a light, salt of the earth and the light of the world. And that's a very great thing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 11 that marriage is not for everyone. Matthew 19:11. Not everybody receives marriage. And that's perfectly fine. And if that's what you're choosing right now, you keep serving the Lord with this gift that He has given you. We appreciate you, and I appreciate you as well. I want to close this morning with a few commendations with regard to individual Christians. We have those here at Warfield Boulevard that are faithful in their attendance. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. The Hebrew writer says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as is the custom of some. I want to commend our brethren here at Warfield Boulevard. You're very faithful in your attendance. You're here every time the doors are open. Every once in a while if you're sick or inclement weather or out of town. But every time the doors are open, you're going to be here. And what a great thing that is. You're to be commended for that. That is a very good thing. You're putting the Lord first, and that's a part of putting the kingdom first. Matthew 6:33 is being here for worship. And you want to come and you want to stir up unto love and good works. And sometimes our elderly members are among those who are the most faithful in their attendance. They can teach us younger folks a thing or two. So thank you for that. What a great thing. And it's a great way to start off this new year. If you're here, let's let next Sunday be the same thing. Let's let tonight or Wednesday night be the same thing. It's a very, very important thing to be faithful in our attendance. And for those of you who are, I am so grateful for that. What a great example that is. That helped me as a child. When I was a child growing up, to see members of the church always there. Brother so-and-so always sitting in his seat, and sister so-and-so always sitting in her seat. That's an encouragement. You look around and see them. And that's one way you learn the importance of serving God, is the physical presence of people. What a great thing that is. We have those here at Warfield Boulevard who read their Bibles daily. And I want to commend you for that. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2. You've made it a habit. You've made it a discipline. Every once in a while there's that occasional I forgot, and that's perfectly fine. That happens even to me. But you're making it a habit to read God's Word daily. I want to commend the elders for encouraging that and making sure that that is announced. This is the only congregation I've ever been in my whole life where that was done. And I really like that. I'm glad that we do that. I've never had that in any other congregation that I've ever been at. The encouragement of daily Bible reading, taking the numbers, announcing that, and so forth. Obviously, it's a given in all of the congregations that I've been in that we want to read our Bible every day. But to formally take the numbers and announce that and encourage that, this is the only place I've ever been that's ever done that, and that's a great thing. You're to be commended for that. And those of you who do that, you're to be commended for that. The psalmist says that the man is blessed, verse 2, who delights in the law of Jehovah, and on his law does he meditate day and night. That's how we grow. That's how we learn. That's how we get better. That's how we love the Lord. And we're going to spend our days thinking about that Word of God. I was raised in a family that read the Word of God every morning after breakfast. When Sherry and I were raising our children, we chose every evening after supper. But whatever part of the day you choose, whatever method you use, and it's becoming even easier now to listen to God's Word on our phones, which is good, whether it's a traditional Bible or our phone or some other method, let us be regularly reading and hearing and listening to the Word of God. And those of you who do that, you're to be commended. Prue is always telling me, I just finished reading the Bible. She's always happy to come tell me that. What a great encouragement. She told me that recently. I just finished reading the Bible. What a great thing. We have some members here at Warfield Boulevard who have remained faithful in their old age. They may still have their spouse, or they may not have their spouse, but they're still here. Turn with me to Psalm 71. I want to read verses 17 and 18. Psalm 71, 17 and 18. Thank you for being that example. We have widows, we have widowers, we have those who are still married to their spouse, but in their old age, they're remaining faithful to the Lord. They're here, and sometimes they're here with aches and pains. Sometimes they're here with things going on in their body that are hurting, but they're still here, and they want to be here. They don't want to be anywhere else, and you're to be commended for that. Young people, look around. Ask yourself, when I'm their age, when I'm in my 70s, when I'm in my 80s, when I'm in my 90s, am I still going to be here? Look around. What a great example. Psalm 71, this whole psalm is about an older person who is praising God. And he says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Yea, even when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have declared thy strength unto the next generation, thy might to everyone that is to come. We have the gray-haired ladies and men here who still want to be here to worship, and they want to tell the next generation about God and God's Word. And you're to be commended, and thank you for being here. Thank you for being in our lives, your words, your example, your wisdom. We have Christians here at Warfield Boulevard who are to be commended for taking care of their parents. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. And they're taking care of their parents, and as we've heard the announcement this morning with Vicky's mother, we're saddened by that. They're going to do that all the way till the end. And you're to be commended for that. It's challenging, it's difficult sometimes, it's time consuming, there's trips, there's things, all kinds of things you got to do. But we do it because we love our parents, we do it because we love the Lord, we do it because we want to follow what the Scripture says, and in this context, I don't have time to read all of it. It's verses, well, the beginning of the chapter down through verse 16, it's about taking care of your own so that the church can take care of those who don't have anyone. But if you have someone, you take care of your own. In verse 8, if any provides not for his own, especially of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever or infidel, your version might say. We're going to take care of our own. They took care of us when we were born into this world. And for most of us, the first 18 years or so, maybe a little bit longer. I would come home from college and Dad would be like, shouldn't you be somewhere else? You know, I'll let you stay for the summer, but shouldn't you be doing something else by now? 20, 21, 20, hint, hint. They take care of us for many years, but then we have an opportunity to take care of them. Is it a special sacrifice? Yes. Do we have to cut back on some of the stuff we're doing? Yes. Do we have to change our schedule? Yes. But we love to do it. We want to do it. And we have members here who are doing that, and you're to be commended for that. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Two more and then I'll close. We have young people here who have become Christians. over the past year, and I'm so thankful for that, and I commend you as a young person for obeying the gospel. You're living in a world, wow, young people, we don't want God and church and prayer and all that foolishness stuff. We don't need any of that. All I need is my phone, you know, and sports and games and whatever. And because of your parents and because of your own desire to obey, you have come to the Lord. We have young people here this morning that have become Christians recently, and we hope more will become Christians, and what a great thing that is. And Paul says, let no man despise your youth. Be an example to them that believe. And you are an example to us in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity. We have some young people here this morning that are pure, as far as I know. Somebody says, well, is that a big deal? That's a very big deal. That's a very big deal. They're sexually pure. They're pure in their words. They're pure in their dress. They're pure in their attitudes. That's a very big deal in today's world. And you're to be commended for that. You're setting a good example. And you've started that example by becoming a Christian, and what a great thing that was. I was thinking about little Eric this morning, waiting on the Lord's table. What a great thing that is. But all of our young Christians, young men and young women, you're to be commended for turning your life over to Christ. And then last of all, turn with me to Acts 14 and verse 22. We have here at Warfield Boulevard some new converts who are growing, and you're to be commended. I love to see the new converts grow, get involved, get better at their Bible knowledge, be more active in the local church. And we have some here at Warfield Boulevard who are doing that, and you keep moving in the right direction. If there's anything we can do to help you to do that, please let us know. But when Paul was wrapping up this preaching trip, and he's on his way back home in Acts chapter 14, there had been some Christians that had just been newly made in the area of Antioch and other places in that area. And as he's going back through, Luke records Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples. That's new Christians. They had just become Christians. Exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. And they have their challenges, they have different things going on, but they're still being faithful. They're here, they're wanting to do more. And so I exhort you to continue in the faith. Well, I just simply wanted to offer some commendations, some heartfelt commendations. I didn't want a PowerPoint on purpose. I didn't want it to look like a formal sermon. That's not what I want. I just want to speak to you from my heart, so to speak, and say thank you. For the congregation as a whole, for our families, and for individual Christians that are doing things. When I think of these things, I am three things. Number one, I'm grateful. Sherry and I are grateful that we can be with you, that we're supported by you. We're grateful. Number two, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for this congregation as we begin 2024 that we will continue to grow in the right direction. And number three, I'm confident. I'm confident that this congregation is sound and that it is right with God. And it would be, to borrow a figure from the churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, it would be a candlestick that would not be removed. Certainly so. And so I'm confident that I'm with a group of brethren that is right with God. And let's all help each other to go to heaven. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel. If we can help you to be baptized into Christ, we would encourage you to come forward and let your needs be made known. If there's a child of God who has erred in some way, I was thinking about the comments that Daniel had around the Lord's table. We do not want to crucify the Son of God afresh. We just don't want to do that. And if we find ourselves maybe that we've fallen in some way or slipped in some way and we want to come back, we can help you to do that as well. If you're subject in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?